This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Fans, 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. And I guess you could call this our Watkins Glen pre-show. I don't know, Watkins Glen Eve here on the program next Sunday. We should be coming to you live from Watkins Glen International, the site of the GoBowling.com at the Glen next Sunday for the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series. We'll be on at least from 11 to noon. We may even be on as early as 10 to noon. Still waiting for confirmation, but all signs pointing to at least being on the air from 11 to noon live from the Glen next Sunday. And we're going to be talking about that with Michael Printup from Watkins Glen International. The Prez is going to join us in studio here in the second half of our program. But lots to get to, including a very somewhat dramatic finish here, the Formula One race from Germany, the German Grand Prix. It's been an interesting morning, not a great one for Mercedes in their home country, by the way. Lewis Hamilton has spun out twice and had a five-second pit road penalty. He is running 11th, and they're on the last lap of the race. His teammate has crashed out of the race, Valtteri Bottas. He has crashed out. So Max Verstappen here is en route to victory. He's up by almost 7 seconds on Sebastian Vettel. So Verstappen's going to win this for Red Bull. Vettel's gone from fourth to second just the last couple of laps. He went by Danny Kvyat and Lance Stroll. And then Carlos Sainz is right now rounding out the top five. But yes, your winner is Max Verstappen in Germany, winning the German Grand Prix for Red Bull today. But just had it on in the studio, and hey, it's just interesting when it's not Lewis Hamilton winning an F1 race these days. So worth mentioning here this morning on the program. So Verstappen, Vettel, Kvyat is your podium today at Germany for the German Grand Prix. Part of a very busy racing day if you're the type that likes to spend their Sundays watching racing or listening to racing here on the radio, is because we've got Formula One just wrapping up. We've got NASCAR in Pocono today, which we'll have the race here on WGR, I believe, for the Gander RV 400 green flag coming up just after 3 o'clock this afternoon. Kevin Harvick, who picked up his first win of the season last week in Loudon, is on the pole alongside Joey Logano, Eric Almirola, Eric Jones, Austin Dillon, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, William Byron, Kurt Busch, and Daniel Suarez, your top 10 starters. You've got IndyCar today in Mid-Ohio, not a far ride here from Western New York, and I know some people that made the trek up there today, including my neighbor of all people. But Will Power is on the pole for that one, for Penske Racing today at Mid-Ohio. Alexander Rossi, who's got himself a new contract extension with Andretti Autosport and Napa Auto Parts, will start second today. Joseph Newgard and Simon Pagenaud give Penske 3 out of the top 4 starting spots in today's race there. Sebastian Bourdais, Felix Rosenquist, Colton Herta, Scott Dixon, Jack Harvey, and Ryan Hunter are top 10 starters for the IndyCar race. And then you've got NHRA out west in Sonoma, California for their national event today there. Top qualifiers include Alex Laughlin in Pro Stock, Robert Height in Funny Car, and I believe Clay Milliken is your number one qualifier in Top Fuel today, and notably in Top Fuel. Can anybody stop Steve Torrence? Torrence is on a tear, to use a pun, I guess, to be punny about it. Steve Torrence, the defending Top Fuel champion, has won 8 out of the last 9 national events in Top Fuel, going back to the 4-wide nationals in Charlotte at the end of April. He has won every Top Fuel event except for Bristol in mid-June. So he's won 8 in almost 8 in a row, 8 out of 9 for Steve Torrence. Of course, similar to his run last year when he swept the postseason for NHRA en route to his Top Fuel championship last year, winning 6 in a row. And he won, I think it was 11 overall last year. He's up to 8 here in 2019, including 8 out of the last 9. So lots on TV today, racing-wise, between that. If you watch the F1 race, NASCAR, IndyCar, and NHRA and the NASCAR race here on WGR coming up just after 3 o'clock at the Tricky Triangle, or shall we call it the Sticky Triangle, because Pocono, after a less than stellar first event at the Pocono Raceway earlier this summer, back in the month of June, NASCAR has talked to some folks inside the industry and drivers and teams and got some feedback, and they've applied some PJ1, the traction compound, so to speak, to try and improve the racing and give these guys more than one lane of racing and try and improve the action for today's race at Pocono, Pennsylvania. So we'll see how that develops and if we can get a little bit better race there at Pocono going ahead today as the final July race at Pocono after, because next year it's going to be a doubleheader at the Tricky Triangle in Pocono with two races in one weekend for the Cup Series at Pocono next year in the final weekend of June. And what a crazy schedule that is going to be, because that just got announced this weekend. And NASCAR, again, going to run two Cup races at Pocono next season, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. Included, plus, they're going to have ARCA, Trucks, and Xfinity all there in one weekend. So you'll get five races that last weekend in June in Pocono, Pennsylvania. Couple run a 350-mile race on Saturday, and then that will have the traditional time trials to set the field. Sunday's race, I think, is very intriguing. They haven't announced how long it's going to be, though. I'm hoping it's a much shorter race, like 300 or 250 miles. But they're going to line up the field Sunday. They're going to invert all the lead lap finishers on set from Saturday's race to start the field on Sunday. And I find that very interesting. So say the last car in the lead lap finishes 25th on Saturday, they will start on the pole on Sunday next year at Pocono, and the guy that wins the Saturday race will start 25th on Sunday. So that could be a lot of fun. Just the Sunday race right now on paper could be the more exciting of the two events. And actually, Sunday's even a doubleheader because you'll get an Xfinity race Sunday before the Cup race. So, I mean, if it rains that weekend, it's going to be just hell for the folks at Pocono to get some racing in. But, yeah, Thursday is ARCA. Friday is practice and qualifying and Cup practice. Saturday is Truck Series race, and then Cup Series race. And then Sunday is Xfinity and Cup at Pocono. And that is just a crazy schedule next year. Actually, I'm going to ask Michael Prince about that. I got lots of stuff to ask Michael Prince of when we have him in here in studio coming up in the second segment of the program. But I mean, looking ahead to today's race, we're getting towards the end of the regular season. And I'll tell you what, this playoff picture is a little bit more interesting than I thought it was going to be. We talk about how things are kind of set coming out of the Coke 600 in Charlotte in May and not a lot of movement. But this race for the who's going to make it in on points is getting a little intriguing just because of the fact of some of the names here floating around 16th, and especially the names floating outside of the top 16. Jimmy Johnson is 17th in points right now. Yes, Jimmy Johnson, Mr. Seven-time himself. He's finished 30th the last 2 weeks in the Cup Series and has fallen out of a playoff spot. Doesn't have a win this year, of course. So, I mean, he could alleviate all his issues by winning one of these next six races on the Cup schedule to guarantee himself a spot in the postseason, like today at Pocono or next week at Watkins Glen, where he's never won before. But Jimmy Johnson is now 17th in points. He is out of a playoff spot. He is, I think it's 17 behind Clint Bowyer. So is Daniel Suarez. Johnson and Suarez are both 17 points behind Clint Bowyer, who sits on the bubble in 16th. And that is close to shocking. I mean, obviously, Jimmy has not had a great year, but if you told me back in, you say, February or March, that coming into the race before Watkins Glen, Jimmy Johnson would be 17th in points, I would have said you were crazy. But here we are. So it's amazing what Jimmy's got to be dealing with right now. I mean, all the change for him this year, you know, not working with Chad Knaus anymore. The Lowe's leaving, while the sponsor, I'm sure, doesn't affect his day-to-day routine or anything, but still, that, you know, the switch in sponsorship after having that relationship for so long, that still had to some kind of effect maybe at the start of the year, not by now, obviously, but just a lot of change this year for Jimmy and the 48 team. And on top of Chevrolet struggles, on top of the new aero package, I mean, you know, Jimmy thrived, obviously, for all those years with the championships under previous rules packages and everything. And now he has just been struggling this year with this aero package on top of just the Hendrick team not being as strong as it was in his heyday when he was racking up all those titles. But here he sits 17th in the standings, 17 points out of a playoff spot, along with Daniel Suarez, who is kind of falling off a bit and disappointed to see. He had a good start to the year, along with the rest of the Stuart Haas organization, but he has kind of fallen off pace a little bit too. So both those guys sitting on the outside looking in. The next driver out is Paul Menard, and Menard, he needs a lot of help because he is about 60 points behind Clint Bowyer, so that's more than a race worth. And then after Menard, it's really these guys need a wish and a prayer to make the playoffs or to pull off an upset win in the next six races because they're not going to do it on points. So it's definitely quite the race here for the 16th spot going into these next six races, including starting today at Pocono, Watkins Glen, and then moving on to Michigan and the rest of the regular season and Bristol and Darlington. So, but on the other end of the spectrum for Stuart Haas Racing, Kevin Harvick getting a win finally last week in Loudon. And I'll tell you what, as much as I've ragged on the product the last year, the most of this year, we've had some pretty darn good finishes the last few weeks in the Cup Series. Last week at New Hampshire, we had the battle there between Harvick and Hamlin. That was a great finish. Pretty good race, too, last week at Loudon in general. Much better than I expected. And to see Harvick and Hamlin go at it and just guys using different pit strategy, which doesn't seem to work as much this year, or we haven't seen it as much this year. It was great to see Harvick and his crew chief Rodney Childers go for the gamble like that, and it paid off. And Hamlin had the fresher tires, but and caught him, and there was contact. But you know, Denny didn't dump him or anything. They kept it clean, which is a good battle to finish. So we've had some great finishes the last few weeks in the Cup Series. On top of that, you go back to Kurt's win in Kentucky, and it's just been some pretty good finishes, at least. Again, obviously the whole race isn't going to be edge of your seat exciting, but really enjoyed the last few finishes last week in the Cup Series. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. What I wanted to go to right now is back on Tuesday morning, Rusty Wallace was in town, NASCAR Hall of Famer, MRN analyst. You'll probably hear him today from Pocono. But Rusty was in town doing a media tour, and he stopped by the morning show with Howard and Jeremy, and this turned out to be a fun couple of segments. We can't get the other segment. I don't have enough time this morning, but if you can, go back and listen to the whole hour from last Tuesday with Howard and Jeremy. We're going to hear a bit from Rusty here in a second, but the after segment was very enjoyable, listening to Howard and Jeremy try to remember NASCAR history, and it was my new favorite segment. I wish it would be, it's like Howard picks the Bills. I want Howard and Jeremy try to remember NASCAR as a regular segment on the show, but go back and listen to that in our on-demand audio. But here is a little bit of Rusty Wallace with Howard and Jeremy here on Fast Track.
Chase Elliott comes out of turn number 7. The crowd roars. They're going to see for the first time Chase Elliott win in the Monster Energy Cup Series.
Hey, this is cool. It's not that often we have a Hall of Famer in studio. Maybe never. I'd have to actually think about that.
Have we had you on the show before?
I don't think so. I don't think we had him on the show before either. Hall of Famer. Rusty Wallace.
The reason I asked
Racing Network here in studios
is
cool.
Because when we heard you were coming in, I was excited. Boy, I'm 10 years old at the time. You're the first NASCAR driver I'd ever heard of. Back in, you're driving the Kodiak car.
Yep, that's right.
And the year you and Bill Elliott were going for the Winston Cup, and I was rooting for you the whole way. That I'm 9 or 10, turn on NASCAR. I liked your car, and I'm like, that's my guy.
That is cool that you said that. That was 1988, actually.
Yeah, okay.
In 1988, me and Bill Elliott going for the championship. He ended up beating me. I finished second. The following year, I ended up winning in '89, but man, we did some crazy stuff back then. I remember going to the very last race, going to Phoenix, Arizona. They had Bill Elliott on a horse, had me on a horse. We're all dressed up with six shooters, and it was a deal for ESPN. And we both looked at each other and said, we looked in the camera and said, it's going to be a shootout. You better tune in.
You didn't have to do any riding. You just had to stand there for the photo.
Yeah, I had to sit on the horse and hope the thing didn't throw me off, you know.
Well, hey, whatever. Anything to help the ratings and to help generate
whatever
interest.
Whatever it took.
Right?
You know, back in the day, that was the ESPN stuff we did. And they thought out of the box way back then.
We were just talking, you know, you're in town to promote the event coming up at the Glen. Go bowling at the Glen on Sunday, August 4th. Tickets are available at theglen.com, the annual stop at Watkins Glen. I wanted to know, I actually checked it last night to check your career stats at the Glen. You had a couple wins. What did you think of the Glen when you were in your racing days? What did you think of going at that road course?
That was my favorite road course. We would race out in Sears Point out in California, and that was a cool road course also. But the thing I liked about the Glen is because it was mostly right-hand turns, and it was really a fast track, meaning that it had a long back straightaway. Man, you'd be running 175, 180 mile an hour, and the front straightaway was super long. Then it had some really high-speed left and right-hand corners, so it was a track that you would really rip around. I mean, you just weren't putting around that racetrack. And some of these road courses, you are just kind of putting around, in my opinion. But the Glen's not one of those. I mean, that place, you are booking around that joint. And the fans up in the Northeast, they really get jacked up. And this place would get over 100,000 people in it. I mean, it's a real scene. When you go to the Glen, it's like going to an event. It's not like you're going somewhere just for today. Most people travel up there for 2 or 3 days, and it's a great time.
Well, it's a great setting, too, in the Southern Tier. And, you know, in Watkins Glen, very scenic area. And you can bring the camper and spend a few days down there. It's funny. I would have thought as a driver that you would have found the road courses. I don't want to use the word boring, but I would have thought, like, the Talladegas and the Daytonas are fabulous. And then even Bristol, like, there's craziness in the short tracks. I would have thought the road courses would not have been high up on the list for drivers.
No, they really are high up on the list.
Is it a bigger test for you guys, more challenging?
You know, I saw the road course racing when I first started as an opportunity because everybody was treating it like it was a real pain in the butt.
Yeah.
They would take their short track cars, like they would run at Bristol or Richmond or Martinsville, Virginia. And, you know, you pit on the other side of the car when you make a pit stop. When you make a pit stop on oval track, you put the fuel in the left side. On a road course, you put the fuel on the right side. So all they would do, they would take their short track car and change the suspension up a little bit in the front, put the gas hole for the fuel in the car in the other side, and that was it. And I'm like, man, there's got to be a better way to do this. So when I went to work with the Blue Max guys back in 88, when you watched me in 89 and all that, we built special road course cars. I went to the Bob Bondurant driving school out at Sears Point, learned all these techniques. I remember the day that I was learning all my stuff, Paul Newman was out there. And they were training Newman how to run road courses and stuff. So I really took this road course stuff serious. And when that happened, I went straight out to Riverside, California, one of the most bad to the bone road courses, and I won it. And then went, man, where did this kinky-haired kid show up from? Who is this dude, you know? Then I went back and I won it again. Then I went back and I won the very last race ever run at Riverside, California. And it was all because we took it so serious. I went and got schooling. We built special cars. I went and tested. And all of a sudden, man, those 180 points that you get for winning a race really pay dividends when it come time to win the championship.
Was it only two road courses on the schedule at that point?
There were only two, that's right.
So drivers just didn't really go out of their way to specialize for the road courses?
They didn't. Then. They just treated it like a pain in the butt. And it's like, oh, man, we've got to run this road course.
Right.
And a lot of time back then, they had what they call road course ringers. Really good road course guys
that
would
come. That was their stop, right.
They would run that one NASCAR race, you know. And they'd kick a lot of those NASCAR guys' butt. But then later, everybody got taking it real serious.
I got to do a quick Google search because I don't want to get the guy's name wrong. But when you said that, I thought, is it Boris Said?
Boris Said's
like
really
Boris
good.
Boris was like a big road course
guy. Yeah,
right? Like
Boris Said.
I never
is...
hear his name other than road course. You know?
Yeah, and he's a big, tall guy. He's about 6'4", could barely fit in a car, and just a heck of a road course driver.
Do you like, and I wanted one, I was one of the things I was going to ask you about, the rules package and how things have changed this year. When you sit back and you watch the races, would you like to be driving in this day and age, or do you think when you were driving in the heyday, it was more fun, more adventurous, more challenging for a driver back then, or is it better now?
Man, I'm always going to say when I drove, it was better.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
What I'm going to say. I'm not going to sugarcoat
it.
But
sometimes sports can evolve. Well, games can evolve. Things can change to make it better than it was 20, 30 years ago.
Well, our sport has evolved. I don't think it's got more exciting. It's got different, meaning that the cars are much safer now. Now they're running around a fuel injection. Now they've got 2 or 3 times the downforce. They're stuck to the ground harder. Drivers are much, much younger. Drivers are different. There's no more Rusty's driving or Dale Seniors or Jeff Gordons or Tony Stewart's or guys like that, you know.
Are they more part of the machine now, the driver?
The machine is they're a part. The driver now is expected to really give good feedback to the team, how the car's performing, how it's handling. And then they got a whole series of engineers that are looking at all that information and verifying what the driver's saying. Before, it was more seat of the pants for the driver. The driver would get out of the car. They say, hey, man, what do you want to do? And I might say, hey, let's change this right front spring, or let's change this air pressure. Let's do this or do that. And the crew chief would say, okay, guys, go do that. Now the driver, he's expected to come in and look at all these crew chiefs and car chiefs and engineers and be able to decipher exactly what and tell them what he's feeling. And then they go to all their computers and look at it. So it's got very, very technical now compared to what it was. And why has it gone that way? Because it can. And technology has developed so big time compared to when I drove the car. So, you know, it's... I can tell you, I ran 200 miles an hour back in the day, and they're running 200 mile an hour today. So the speeds are really no different. It's just what's happening is totally different.
Having said that, do you think, you mentioned like driving by the seat of your pants, do you think the team is more important now? I don't want to suggest that drivers are interchangeable, or are they? Has the team become more important than you could find a driver? If you've got the right team, you'll win no matter what. Like, there are a handful of teams that are really dominating the standings. Is it different now? Would that have been any different than when
man,
you were racing?
Man, I am very, very hesitant, because I used to think, oh, man, I think I'm one of the guys holding this team together. Right. I think I'm the one that's pulling.
You got to have the elite driver.
This was back in the early 80s, I was saying that type of stuff, and I'm winning all these races, you know. And then I learned really, really fast when I lost a lot of my super team members, and we started not running good. I said, man, boy, did I learn the hard way that there is no I in a race team. Man, I know everybody says that same thing, but I remember going out there leading these races, and all of a sudden the engine will blow up, or leading these races and come down pit road and we have a bad pit stop, you know. So it takes all these components to make these things work and put you in victory lane, and it really honestly is no different. Just about the time you think you stand back and pound your chest and go, hey, I'm the guy that's making all this happen, you get your butt beat, I will promise you.
We have Rusty Wallace here in studio. I wanted to ask you this, too. When we talk about football, sometimes in other sports we'll have a certain number and say, boy, it's running backs. Boy, you hit the age of 30, you begin to see a drop-off. It's a long way of getting to, are you surprised at all about Jimmy Johnson? He is out of the playoffs right now. I know some people have brought up Kevin Harvick, two 40-plus-year-old drivers. Is there a number, an age, where you think when you're racing in NASCAR, it becomes a little more problematic?
Yeah, but it's a lot higher than it is football, and it's a lot higher.
Sure. Yeah,
I mean, those are very physical sports where you're running. It's all about how strong you are, how fast you are, stuff like that. In NASCAR, in my opinion, it's all about how smart you are. It's all about how much you know what that track's going to do, how you know that groove's moving around, withstanding heat.
Yeah.
Man, those cars get 180 degrees inside. I remember one of the races I lost 11 pounds in 500 miles. But, you know, I quit driving when I was 49, and I could have went at least 3 or 4 more years longer for sure. But I had a big opportunity from ESPN, and I got out of the car early. And early at 49?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's good.
Isn't that crazy sound of 49?
Yeah.
I'm calling that early?
Do you ever regret it? Do you ever think back, I would have gone for a few more years?
No, not really, because, you know, it was inevitable. I was going to have to get out of the car. You know, I just thought I needed to, because actually I was getting burned out. I was getting tired of driving a car. I was getting tired of being on the road all the time. I was getting tired of living in motels. I was tired of not seeing my family. I was just getting mentally, instead of going there loving it and having this aggressive feel, I was starting to get tired of it. My performance was starting to come down a little bit. Although my very last year, I still made the chase for the championship. Everything went good. I had a bunch of great runs and stuff like that. But if I would have went longer, you know, I wouldn't have been able to take advantage of some of the opportunities that popped up, say the ESPN thing being one of them. I worked for those guys for 10 years.
There's Rusty Wallace from the Howard Simon Show Tuesday morning. Listen to the full thing in our on-demand audio section, and listen to the segment after. Just listen to the whole third hour from Tuesday, because, Howard and Jeremy Remember NASCAR is equally just as good. So go back and listen to the rest of that if you can. We get back. Michael Printup is here in studio, the president of Watkins Glen International, as the GoBowling.com. At the Glen is next Sunday. We're going to talk about that next here on Fast Track.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the Jimmy Johns Ford. You're listening to WGR, Sports Radio 550.
And Kevin Harvick on the pole for today's race, the Gander RV 400 at the Pocono Raceway. Fresh off his win at Loudoun, New Hampshire. You'll hear that right here on WGR coming up at green flag just after 3 o'clock this afternoon. I said Rusty would be on the broadcast. I am wrong. Rusty is golfing in Scotland, and I know that because our guest here told me during the break. Michael Prince up, the president of Watkins Glen International. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me on. This is awesome.
Well, 1 week from today, we're going to be at your racetrack with 50,000-60,000 of our closest friends. What is this week like for you?
It's crazy for the team. You know, you're buttoning up all the fine details, and for me, I'm in like Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Binghamton doing media runs. So yeah. I'll put about 2,000 miles on the car this week, all for the sake of the best racing in New York State.
You had Joey Logano in Rochester. You brought Daniel Suarez to New Era Field, and then we just heard from Rusty's media tour. But it's fun having these guys come to town to support your race.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome to have these guys come in. Danny's just an awesome young man, and you know, Danny got his start here.
Yeah, I love the Troy Williams story. Yeah,
it's a great story. So it's great to have Danny represent NASCAR. But you know, everybody's been great. Rusty was here last week. We had a ball with Rusty. Went back over to the Bills. Got to hang out with Tasker again for a little while.
There you go.
And you know, best Buffalo Bill in the world. They're all great, but man, I really love Steve Tasker.
I always find it funny, although he stepped away from his broadcast role this year, Mark Kelso, because he works with JTG Jordy too.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And they're having Chris Buescher's having a great year for that team, and Ryan Preece is coming, a modified guy, got to give him a plug too. But Chris is having some top 10 runs, and Ryan's learning the ropes there in the 47 car. But I know the years of Marcus Ambrose running for them, they were always a big story coming into the Glen, but I wouldn't be surprised if a Chris Buescher could pull one off next week.
I wouldn't be surprised one bit at all. Chris is a great young man. I got to spend some time with him in Las Vegas last year, but he's a winner, and it's just he's an inch off, and he's going to get it.
How are ticket sales going? I know there was that report floating around. You guys were close to a sellout. How are things looking? Can we go to theglen.com and still find some inventory?
You can. We're trending to sell out all the grandstands, but as you know, we have a lot of general admission.
Sure.
You know, back in the Formula One days, used to be 100, 110,000 people there. We built a new berm in turn one just for general admission viewing. It's 140 feet long, 30 feet high. Gets great views from the start finish line all the way up the top of the S's, so you got a great view and you got big screens in front of you. So bring a blanket, bring a picnic basket, and have some fun, man.
Things have thankfully kind of dried out around here after things were so wet in May and June. Facility looking good and spick and span for next weekend?
Yeah, we did our tour yesterday. Place looks awesome. I mean, the team has done such a great job, as they do every year, but it's green, it's plush, it's mowed, all the campsites are marked. I mean, you know, this is the big party in Western New York for the year, and we're ready. We just got to get the party going and get the racers here.
You mentioned it being green. I something road course related. They go, when NASCAR comes to Sonoma in June, it's brown, but I saw a picture from Sonoma in March, and it was green, and I almost didn't recognize the place. I'm used to that kind of brown grass at Sonoma when the Cup Series is there in June.
Yeah, you know, people don't realize how hot it gets out there. I've spent a lot of time out in Sonoma and the Napa area, and you know, in June, that place is baking. But it was funny. I was with the president earlier this spring, and the place was green, and it was like, this is awesome. He's like, too bad we couldn't can it.
Or just spray paint the grass.
That's right.
Would look better. And then they have the goats that eat the grass out there, too. That's their lawnmowers, right? They have those goats.
Yeah. They've got a lot of property like we do, so you know, fortunately we're green and mean. We're ready to go,
and hopefully blue skies next weekend. But not only is it the Cup Series, but you got a lot of things coming up next weekend. The Xfinity Series, K&NE Series. Just give everybody the rundown for next weekend.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, we got K&N coming in, which is just an awesome show on Friday night. And then shortly, maybe another month or two, we're going to have a special announcement about next year with K&N. We're gonna build up our Friday night experience, so stay tuned for that one. But, you know, Great Outdoors RV, it comes on down. They bring 30, 40 RVs so everybody can party and have a good time. But so that caps off Friday. Xfinity, obviously Zippo. I think it's 27 years with us, 28 years with us. I was just talking to the owner, George Duke, yesterday, and he's excited about coming down, and that's an awesome race. You know, that really caps off Saturday, and we're happy to have Zippo. And, of course, and there's practice and qualifying all day Saturday. There's a breadth of racing that you can have out there. And then Sunday, obviously, go bowling. We're ready to go. 3 o'clock on NBCSN, and then we I think it's about 320, 318 that we'll see that green flag.
Yeah, 318 it says on the official schedule. And you mentioned NBC, and they're doing it today, too, I believe, at Pocono. But the radio-style broadcast is back at the Glen with Dale Jr. out in the bus stop. The awesome Mike Bagley and the S's. And I enjoy it being part of the media, watching the race. Unfortunately, we're in the media center, but we do get the attraction, and I enjoyed sitting in the media center last year listening to those guys call that race last year.
Yeah, it's awesome where they spread them out. You know, I can't wait to go talk to Dale about the bus stop experience, you know, because that's the one and only in NASCAR, as you know. So it'll be interesting. It'll be great to see his take, and the radio commentary is awesome.
Michael Printup from Watkins Lenton joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Michael, the schedule for Pocono for 2020 came out this weekend. Of course, they're doing the doubleheader next year with the Cup racing Saturday and Sunday. And that schedule, oh my gosh, it is so daunting. They've got ARCA Thursday, practice of qualifying Friday. They're going to do Trucks Cup Saturday and Trucks Cup Cup Xfinity on Sunday. What do you think of that deal next year for Pocono?
Well, it's going to be a boom for the fans. I mean, you're going to buy one ticket, and whatever they do with the pricing, I'm sure it won't double. But it's going to be interesting. You know, that's jam packed schedule. You have to admit that. I guess we're going to have to see how it happens. I think two races and one weekend's a lot for the consumer to enjoy. I think it's a great way to bounce things up, and I think that's the creative part of that is good. So I give a lot of credit to Pocono and NASCAR for putting together something creative for the fans. So it's going to be a great TV product. So I think that's the other thing. They're going to own the weekend, which they already do, but they're going to really own this weekend.
Yeah, and I find it interesting. Is this just like a – because it's the last year of the sanctioning agreements next year in 2020. So is this just their way to honor the agreement of the two dates but condense it to one weekend? Is there a chance if this doesn't go well in 2020 that, say, Pocono goes to a one cup weekend in 2021 with the schedule?
Yeah, you know, NASCAR, and I was just with some of the executives a couple weeks ago. You know, they haven't committed to any strategy changes yet, obviously. It's too early. I think it's a good way to do it. They said that the schedule's up for reevaluation. You know, and of course, I got to be selfish and worry about us.
Sure.
You know, I'd love to see something crazy happen to our schedule, you know, so maybe we'll get to the think tank on that one and try to do something that'd be fun.
Would you ever go back? It used to be 15 years ago, you had three separate – it was probably long before you were there, but Truck, Xfinity, and Cup, there were three separate events at Watkins Glen. Do you ever foresee maybe separating – maybe you do an Xfinity Truck weekend and a Cup weekend, or Xfinity Modifieds weekend would be awesome, and Cup Truck or Cup K&N, do you ever see that happening where Xfinity and Cup separate again at the Glen?
I don't think personally I would vote for it. I'd leave it up to the fans, and that's how we like to judge things when we do fan surveys.
Sure.
But I think what I would like to look at is actually extending our weekend and not – maybe it's a Xfinity Thursday night. You know, run a two-hour timed race and really change up the schedule a little bit and free up more Saturday. I mean, it is a jam-packed schedule, as you can see on Saturday from, you know, 8 a.m. until 6:30 when the race is over. So maybe something a little different and creative might be in the winds for Watkins Glen.
Yeah, I prefer, I guess, personally, the Cup qualifying on Friday. I don't, you know, Saturday night, I'm kind of busy Saturday nights during the summer, local racing. So I'm not – after that Xfinity race, I'm not going to be able to watch that Cup qualifying on Saturday late afternoon.
Yeah, it's a change that we wanted to experiment with NBC and NASCAR. You know, I think last year a lot of the fans wanted it earlier as well, and I know you're a fan, so you're one of them. So we'll take a look. We're doing it again this year to see what happens, and you know, if it works for NBC and NASCAR and WGI, we'll probably continue. But
yeah,
I'd like to see it go back to that noon, 1 o'clock personally as a fan.
Sure, yeah. But I know you're at the mercy of NASCAR and maybe even bigger NBC, of course, and not a criticism. Just like to talk to you about the industry. I love your insights that you provide us here in WGR's Fast Track. Something else I wanted to talk to you about with the we've got the goldbowling.com at the Glen coming up this weekend, of course. But and again, event ideas. I sit around and think about this stuff, Michael. But I see more short track integration into NASCAR events. You've got like places like Charlotte and Texas and Vegas that bring in the World of Outlaws when they have the Cup. You've got New Hampshire now. I think they built a little dirt track to run quarter midgets. Indianapolis building, they had that race with oh my God, the Jason Leffler race at Indianapolis last year. You see Bristol and New Hampshire running short track only weekends. Now, again, Watkins Glen road course, not an oval. And you've got a very full schedule. I believe me, I doubt you want to add more events because you have the Salem 6 hours, the vintage weekend, the wine festival and everything. And then you've got clubs coming in that are just, you know, private events. But could you foresee doing like a short track event at Watkins Glen, like, I don't know, street stocks and a modified race and maybe a dirt modified race on the road course somewhere? I think I've brought this up to you in the past before, but is that just an industry trend right now to have more grassroots tie-ins?
It's definitely an industry trend that we're all concentrating on. And just because it's your show, I'll give you the heads up on this, and anybody else that's listening or everybody else that's out there listening, we're going to run USAC on the paddock next year as a test. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get them in the paddock at the quarter midgets. I'm working with Danielle Fry, obviously the president of that division. But as I told you earlier this year, we're going to look to put in and I'm going to call it an amateur track, but we're going to look to put an amateur dirt track, kind of like a hairpin, inside the boot.
So that you weren't just pulling my leg last time we talked.
No, I was hoping we'd get to constructing it earlier this summer, but we've been so busy and the rain killed us.
Yeah.
So it essentially put us 8 to 10 months behind schedule. Mm. But really, just to put that on there, you know, if you look at the boot from an aerial, it's going to be a thin track. That's why I call it a hairpin. Mm. And we're going to get after it and see what we can do. And, you know, if it's just kids and amateurs, that's great. We don't want to take any business from the track.
Sure.
We want to be maybe just have a highlight race, you know, right. Just bring down some of those guys and gals that race the local tracks and just have fun with it. You know, we're not trying again. Right. We don't want to steal anything. We want to highlight when you can put 50, 60,000 fans there and fans come out and see that.
Do you take a look at like what the World of Outlaws do and not ARCA because now they're kind of part of the family, but just some of these these local series that run across country. Do you see what they do and try and borrow ideas for them or just kind of follow what they do to just stay on top of the industry?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, that's why we've been concentrating looking at it. Our VP of operations has been sticking his nose in wherever he can to learn more about those divisions and then see. But, you know, again, we don't want to take it too serious.
Sure.
In terms of we don't want to put out there that we're going to steal races.
Of course.
You know, we want to be able to highlight. And again, that's why I call it an amateur track. If it's only for kids, you know, 8 to 16, I think that's awesome. You know, something that we can do to help help locals get their feet under them.
Yeah, it's becoming a trend in the industry. Look what NBC, the great thing they're doing this year too with the local tracks and trying to promote them, and they handed out all those victory lane signs to tracks across. So I'm again local racing guy, national NASCAR fan. I enjoy the symmetry.
Yeah, so I would agree.
Speaking of promoting, you've been doing a heck of a job here in the local market, Walden Galleria. I don't like going to the mall, but it's fun to see Martin Truex's car when I'm at the mall, and all those video screens inside the mall. I keep hearing Dave Moody's voice come out of them. So you big promotion here in the market, especially at the Galleria.
Well, you know, it's great, and we love the Walden Galleria Mall. You know, and growing up in Hamburg here, obviously right up the street. So, but little bias, but you know, Buffalo's a big market for us, and you know, we got to keep this going, and our promotions there are awesome. So we were just meeting yesterday about, you know, what else can we do? You know, can we have more contests at that car? Mm-hmm. You know, drive more energy into the mall, drive more energy to the car, we'll figure it out. But it's a lot of fun to do this kind of stuff.
Media all-star race at the go-kart track.
That's
upstairs on the upper level there. We did that with Casey Kane a couple of years ago, actually.
Yeah.
Michael, all right, just make your one last pitch here with 6 days or few days until people start rolling. Yeah, you probably got customers coming in as early as Wednesday and Thursday, but in this last run-up, just give us your pitch here for folks to go to theglen.com.
Hey, look, if you've never been to The Glen, you got to check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's an event. It's a party. It's family. We have camping. We have 1,800 acres to camp on. It's just a lot of fun to have it. It's a big, big show. It's on big-time television internationally, so it's something to see. It's an event. Bring your friends, family, kids, don't forget. 13 and younger, only $10 for the entire weekend.
Wow.
Can't go to a movie for that. And that's all weekend. And then $20 from 13 to 19. So we even make it teenage proof of, you know, so bring your kids. It's cheap. We have a lot of fun. And, you know, we got Genesee beer this year, too. So we're really excited about that. One thing is we came in number 2.
Oh, the voting.
The voting.
You lost.
Tony Stewart beat us.
Eldor. Yeah. Was that USA Today?
It was.
The best NASCAR track in the country.
Yeah. We owned it for 3 years. Out of the four years, we won three times. But, you know, Tony's great. Dirt track racing is great. I'm glad they won. We're going to move on and start racing next week with Go Bowling August 1st through the 4th.
It's a great lead. And Thursday night, we got the truck race at Eldora. We can watch that. And then everybody can head up to the Glen for Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And hopefully, Stuart Friesen. How well do you know Stuart?
Yeah.
Okay. So, fortunately, crashed a Pocono yesterday on the first lap of the race, but he could really use a win to make the playoffs. And hopefully, he gets one Thursday night at Eldora.
Let's hope so.
Michael Prince up for Watkins Glen. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Again, busy time of year for you. And again, I'm sorry to hammer you about industry insights, but thank you so much.
Awesome.
I appreciate the insight as someone that's just in tune into the business. I find it very fascinating. Again, theglen.com for tickets next weekend, gobowling.com at the Glen. We'll be live from the Glen next Sunday, too, from 11 to noon, hopefully even 10 to noon, and I hope to see you there. We'll be back with more Fast Track, including the local racing roundup, when we get back here on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
Go back to Monday and Tuesday night. Of course, last week here on the show, we had Clinton Jeffrey on from Oshweken Speedway. And then we wound up talking to Christopher Bell, the Xfinity Series points leader, as they were racing sprint cars Monday and Tuesday night at Oshweken. Monday night, the sprint car went to Rico Abreu. And then Christopher Bell on the show Sunday wins on Tuesday. Another fast track luck there for Christopher Bell as he picked up the sprint car win Tuesday night at Oshweken. It was a great couple of shows despite some weather issues. They got them both in. And James Michael Friesen picked up a win with the Race of Champions Dirt Sportsman on Tuesday. James Michael has got himself a little hot streak going. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Thursday night, Genesee had their Gladiator race for the Modifieds that got rained out earlier this summer. And Eric Rudolph, speaking of hot streaks, he picked up the win there on Thursday. More about his win streak, too, in a moment. Kyle Inman won the BEI Lightning Sportsman race. Brad Rouse won the Grit Sportsman race. Brad Whiteside in the mini stocks. That was Thursday night over at the Genesee Speedway. Friday night action over at Lancaster Dragway. Mo Alfaki got the win in Buffalo Street Outlaws, as did Randy Jewell and Josh Williams. Bill Balzer got the win in Top ET. Tony Madonia in Top 8. Mason Fix in Mod. Lucas Salemi, third win of the year in Bikes and Sleds. And Donnie DJ Razor got the win in Street there Friday night in Lancaster. Friday night, Spencer Speedway, the Race of Champions Modified Series, 65th Anniversary 100 over there at Spencer. And Andy Jankowiak picking up the win over Scott Wiley and Daryl Lewis Jr. Another great night there at the Spencer Speedway. Tommy Barron got the win in the Race of Champions Superstocks Friday night over at the Spencer Speedway. Coming up this Saturday night, if you're going to Watkins Glen, come on over to the Chemung Speedrome Saturday night. Race of Champions Modified Rod Spalding Classic plus Superstocks and TQ Midgets. That is coming up at 6 o'clock Saturday at Chemung Speedrome, just down the road from Watkins Glen International. If you're going to be out there looking for a little extra racing on your Saturday night. Friday, getting back to the results from this weekend, Friday at the Ransomville Speedway, Eric Rudolph wins yet again. Eric has won now four races in the last week, going back to last weekend, including a Super Dirt Car Series win in Quebec on Monday. Wins Thursday and Friday as well, too, and also won last Sunday. So Eric has got himself a four-race win streak, much in the same way Matt Williamson won four races in a row a couple of weeks ago. Now Eric Rudolph on a hot streak of his own as these guys go back and forth all year long between Ransomville and the Super Dirt Car events. Derek Wagner also winning in the Sportsman Friday night at Ransomville. Dave Bailey won the John Soucy Memorial Street Stock Race. Cole Soucy in the Mini Stocks. Bubby Pollock in the Novice Sportsman. Saturday night action back to Genesee Speedway. And it was Brad Mesler picking up the win in the Crate Late Models. Bill Holmes in the... Brad Messler won the makeup late model race, and then Bill Holmes won the regularly scheduled late model race. Kyle Inman, another win in the Sportsman. Eric Wise in the micro sprints. Josh Pangrazio in the street stocks, and Brad Shepard in the mini stocks. Greenlee George got the win in the Bandits there Saturday night at the Genesee Speedway. Merrittville last night, Matt Farnham got a sprint car win. The Action Sprint Tour went to Matt Farnham, who also runs Modifieds. Mike Bowman got the win in the 358 Modifieds over Matt Williamson and Gary Lindbergh. James Michael Friesen, his third win in less than a week in the Sportsman. Tyler LaFontese in the four cylinders. Josh Slater in the Mod Lights. And Saturday night, Wyoming County International Speedway, and a big thank you to Dakota Packman for sending these along. Greg Moulton, the four cylinders, Brian Hallett in the six cylinders, Fabian Welter in the Super Stocks. You ask, who is Fabian Welter? Fabian Welter is the 2017 NASCAR Mexico champion. And speaking of Daniel Suarez and Troy Williams, who we talked about with Michael Printup, Fabian is another driver from Mexico working with Troy Williams. And he picked up the win in the Super Stocks last night, so that was interesting. I literally had to ask Dakota who that was, because there was a name that was new to me, because he's a Mexican driver. Again, NASCAR Mexican champion, but up here in Western New York racing. Cam Barber got the SST Modified win over Neil Dietz and Kevin Timmerman last night there at Wyoming County International over in Perry, New York. And again, thank you, Dakota Packman, for sending those along. Tonight, if you're looking for some action, Humberstone Speedway's got a full show. It's topless night at Humberstone. No, not people, but race cars. They take the roofs off the sportsmen and late models and for an interesting look. And then also, Weed Sports Speedway tonight has the Hall of Fame 100 for the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds. The big blocks have a busy couple of week and a half, you could say. They are at Weedsport tonight. Then they make the trek down south. They stop at Sharon Speedway, and then they'll be at Eldora with the trucks on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday is a regular series race, and then Thursday they're kind of running in support of the trucks to kind of help fill in some of the gaps in the schedule Thursday night with the Gander Outdoor Truck Series Thursday at Eldora. So that's a big swing. And then they turn around, and they'll be back up this way the following Monday and Tuesday, of course, the usual Merrittville-Ransomville doubleheader the first week of August with the big blocks at Merrittville on Monday and then the Summer Nationals at Ransomville a week from Tuesday. So a busy time of year for the folks in the big block series, I'm sure. Eric Rudolph, Matt Williamson, Stuart Friesen, along with guys like Matt Shepard and Billy Decker and Larry White, you'll be seeing them all in action if you're headed to Eldora or if you want to come see them at Merrittville and Ransomville next week. So lots of local racing, just busy time of year. You got Watkins Glen, you've got all the local racing stuff, lots to do and see. Hope you check some of it out. And again, hope to see you Saturday at Chemung Speedrome. If you are headed out to the Glen next weekend, stop on out and check out the action at Chemung on Saturday night too. Would really appreciate that. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Michael Printup. Again, next week, we're definitely on 11 to noon. If we're on at 10, follow our social media. We'll blast it out there too. But we'll definitely, at least right now, that's the plan. We'll be live from the Glen. Things can change during the week at the mercy of our awesome engineering staff here at Entercom Buffalo. But if as long as there's equipment for me to take, we'll be live from the Glen next Sunday. I know we'll have Dave Moody from MRN live and hopefully some more exciting guests. We'll talk to you next Sunday live from the Glen here on Fast Track.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.